How's it going? This is Brad Williams with Over 40 Fitness Hacks, the podcast where I help you, being over 40, to fight the aging process without giving up your social life. This is part 3 of 3 of an interview I did with Dr. Ann Barter. She is a chiropractor and functional medicine doctor that specializes in gut health. If you want to catch up, go back a couple episodes. But in this episode, we dive into a little bit more complex theories of neurotransmitters, hormones, and how they play a part in our gut health. So if you're interested, stay tuned.
Dr. Ann, we wanted to talk about neurotransmitters and the gut and things such as that. Is that just like how well your receptacles are working down there, or what's the whole story between that?
Totally. So there's gut bacteria that actually help protect some of the neurons associated with our basic dopamine and serotonin receptors. So why are dopamine and serotonin important? So let's start with serotonin. So basically a large portion of these are produced and stored in the gut. Not all, but are stored there for sure. It's debated about how much, et cetera, through the studies, but neurotransmitters are produced and stored in the gut. Okay. Serotonin helps us to, it helps us to be happy. It helps us to find joy in some of our favorite activities and some of our favorite foods in it. And like, it's kind of the traditional depression that you think of when it gets low. But serotonin can be just a touch low, not to the complete depression point, or it also helps with what we call peristalsis in our gut, how things move through the gut and how your transit time. Okay. So it's actually a really important piece of something called gastroparesis, or basically slow transit time. So anyway, serotonin is really important for that. And it also is a helpful regulator for our blood sugar. Serotonin also helps us regulate like how much we eat, right? So craving for sugars a lot of times can be associated with low serotonin or low dopamine. So we do these things to help ourselves. We crave sugar, we crave alcohol, we crave drugs because of these neurotransmitters, because they make us feel good. You look at a child who's like talking about going to putt-putt golf. And it's like the last thing you want to do on a Friday is go to putt-putt golf. But their joy and their exuberance, et cetera. Yeah. And so that's good serotonin levels. It's exciting, good serotonin levels to be that happy and that joyful, right? And we're not like that all the time. It's cyclical. I think we've also created this norm where I have to be joyful and happy all the time. That's not how it works. Like things happen during the day where you have to take on a different role. But as a general rule, you still need to enjoy certain activities. And when you become a little apathetic to that, we know that serotonin is low. Dopamine, on the other hand, is like our motivation neurotransmitter. It helps us stay focused. It helps us to stay motivated, hopeful. And it also is one of the ones that if you have to consume caffeine to stay alert, a lot of times dopamine has been affected, and dopamine regulates the adrenal glands. So when I start to talk about feeling hopeless or worthless, people are like, oh no, that's not me, but I do need my coffee to get going every single morning, or I really can't stay on task with that, or I do feel a little AD. That is dopamine deficiency. And so again, sugar is something that we can legally do to boost that up as well. And so when we have seen in the rat studies, rats will choose sugar over drugs. And our food is so riddled with sugar, right? And so there was a study that was done that looked at exercise and food consumption and how weight gain has happened over the past 10 years. And what they have found is that there was an introduction of like 80,000 new products to the grocery store over a pretty short period of time. And so we don't have that many different varieties of bananas and apples and, you know, whatever else, right? So that's processed foods. And so what the food manufacturers are doing to make you addicted to this kind of serotonin, dopamine, specifically dopamine, is they're putting sugar so that you have a good experience when you have that food. And so it makes you more addicted to it. And so that's been the big rise, is how much is actually in everything. And sugar destroys the gut. It completely destroys the gut. It also creates dysbiosis. So your bad bacteria rise and your good bacteria fall, which can lead to things like inflammatory bowel or IBS or other things like that. So I think about it, there was a Guns N' Roses song that said, I used to do a little, but a little wouldn't do it. So the little got more and more. So basically, if they can kind of put in enough sugar and salt and they've kind of in enough fat, people really start to gravitate towards those foods. And in the rat studies, what they've seen is that each day the rat will do a little bit more sugar to get the same dopamine response that they got the day before. And it's 150% over the norm. So it kind of keeps you addicted and keeps you in the cycle.
Yeah. I wonder how many different drug choices those rats got versus the sugar. I want to know that. So I think that's a perfect example of a kind of a cure-all, because that's what all of us talk about in the health and wellness industry is if anyone's like all on the same page on everything, it's no processed foods. It's just garbage. So, but go way down into the science of why. That's awesome.
Yes, I did, I guess. Yes, I did.
Is that something you can test too? Is the dopamine and serotonin levels, or do they change so much by hour you'd never be able to catch what's really going on with somebody?
So what we can do is a urine test to see kind of where those are. So the real way to really see what those are doing would be a spinal tap. And that's like that's not great.
Yeah.
So we're kind of extrapolating those levels from a urine test, right? And so we can see a lot from that. And you also have to see what your nutrient levels are, because nutrients also build serotonin and dopamine. So you also want to see, because if you're deficient in B vitamins, you can be deficient in those. If you're deficient in, for example, copper, you can be deficient in dopamine, or vitamin C, you can be deficient in dopamine. So you ultimately need to just make sure that you have all the cofactors to create those, as well as making sure your gut health is good. So I generally try to treat them together. So I'll treat the neurotransmitters with the gut health, because serotonin is so important in that. And by the time people get to me, they've kind of been everywhere else. They've had enough. So ultimately, I run those two tests to kind of see, and I'll treat those two together. But yes, it is something you can see on a test.
Yeah. And also on the test, I've seen gut health tests before where however many different types of bacteria are in your gut, I just pick a number like 16 or something like that. And do we know how much of each level is like for the perfect human being that we think is? Or do we have any kind of gauge on that where you can tell, oh no, this bacteria needs to come down, this one needs to come up?
Yeah, we do have levels. Yeah. So I think, again, remember, we're only looking at this small factor, and we know that there's so many more. So yeah. I think some of that is really in its infancy. We know about lactobacillus. I think a lot of people know about that. As I mentioned, acromantia, that's not as commonly talked about as something like lactobacillus or bifido or something like that. So all of that's in its infancy. We know about some of the levels of like streptococcus and things like that, about where they should be and when they're creating some dysbiosis. But are there other bacteria that we don't know about or we're not testing for at this phase? Absolutely. And I think in 10 years, gut health is going to be in a completely different place, and what we can test for is going to be in a completely different place. But right now, we're able to make some really good progress on some of these clinically difficult cases.
Yeah. And I just know just from experience of being in this industry too, that just like different foods, different diets, mm-hmm. There's not one all fits all for everybody. So it might be the case too, that it's not the same levels of bacteria on one person should be in the other person as well, because we're just all different. So I think starting out, like we were talking about, just what feels good, keep doing that at least.
Yeah. And I think, so I have a podcast as well. And one of the tips that I gave on the podcast was to basically do a little bit of a raw veggie blended up that you do different every single day. So like maybe one day it's a little bit of kale, the next day it's a little bit of carrot or something like that. And it's just going to basically be a couple tablespoons of that. And so blended, not juiced, because the blended is going to give you the fiber. And so just having that diversity of those different vegetables helps to feed different types of bacteria in your gut. Fermentation is another thing that does that. But what I hear people say is when they hear that piece of information on the podcast, and then they come in to see me in practice, and they have incorporated that piece, their gut health is 80% better when they sit down across from me.
Wow, that's awesome.
So not everybody, but most people.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, Dr. Ann, how can my audience get a hold of you? You have your podcast, Gut Health Reset. What, any website or social media that you like directing people to?
Yeah. So the Gut Health Reset podcast is a podcast. And then our practice is ALT, A-L-T, FAM, F-A-M, Med, M-E-D, short for Alternative Family Medicine.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. And the audience knows I always put it in the show notes too, so I can just click on the links and get a hold of you. But yeah, this was a wealth of information and something I've been working on too this last year. So it's little tweaks I can do and maybe get tested one day.
Awesome. Let me know.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Dr. Ann, for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate being here. This was fun.
Absolutely.
All right.
Hey, everyone. I would just like to thank each and every one of you for supporting my show. My numbers over the years have just been growing and growing on this podcast. One thing that could really help me and something you could do as a listener would be go onto iTunes and leave me a 5-star review. Any other podcast service like Spotify and Podchaser is also great, but iTunes is really where the magic happens for us being podcasters. Thanks again, and I'll catch you on the next episode.